And that's encouraging to all of us, even though I think the county is kind of spiking again. It's good to see everybody, and I know we'll practice some good social distancing to make sure that we all stay safe and yet be able to enjoy one another's physical fellowship at this time. We certainly are mindful of those who are dealing with various problems, and certainly hope that things go well with them. If you have your Bibles open to Luke, we're going to read there in Luke the 10th chapter some verses, and from it we're going to launch into a lesson about responsibilities. I'll be reading from the New King James there in Luke the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 30 and going through 37. Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.'" He asked the question then, "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy to him," the man responding whom Jesus was speaking to. Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." I'm using that as a launch for consideration about the idea of responsibility that we should have toward one another as we go through this life. I think that all of us recognize that we have some vague idea of wanting to serve God. It's interesting that somebody once said that they understood the idea of serving God, but they thought it should be more on an advisory capacity. In other words, I'll serve God when I happen to need something from Him. I'll serve God when I think I can either get some good or do some good, but they didn't see it as a complete commitment within their lives. When we talk about the idea of responsibility, what we're talking about is being obliged, being accountable, being answerable for the things that we're doing. And of course, accountability runs through all aspects of our lives. But this morning, naturally, we are talking about responsibility when it comes to us as a local congregation and Christians within the congregation. I recognize that superseding that is our responsibility in our service to God. And some of the things we're going to talk about will indeed begin with and assume that responsibility in relation to God. But I want to bring it down to a more personal level. And I realize that the COVID virus has changed things for us as a congregation. And quite frankly, I don't think it's changed it for the good. I think that we have become very lax in our sense of accountability and responsibility within the Highway 157 Church of Christ. The Scriptures talk about individual congregations being an entity within itself, obviously under the purview of Christ, under the purview of the body of Christ, the universal church. But there is still a sense from Scripture of the requirement by God of us interacting with each other in a local capacity. And I think that because of this virus, we have found ourselves lax concerning a lot of individual responsibilities within the congregation. It is almost as if we have suspended the sense of local congregation during this virus. But I must tell you that my observation, and this is not meant to be a a harsh lesson at all, but my sense is that we oftentimes have lost track of individual responsibility within the local church. And I think it's manifested itself in a number of ways, some of which is the idea of finding individuals who are intent on truly serving within the church in various capacities. Allow me to be personal and whine for a moment. I don't think it's right that the preacher has to be the one that unlocks the building, turns on the mechanisms, gets the mechanisms all running, works with the flaws that are developed with Zoom, gets sidetracked in all the mechanical stuff, and then boom, turn all of that frustration off and stand up and teach the Bible class. There's no good setting your mind to the Word while those aggravations and frustrations come on. We're a congregation that's large enough that others should step up and shoulder that responsibility. But when we make it a practice of coming into services at the very last second, then it's difficult for us to shoulder those responsibilities effectively. I don't want to take the attitude, okay, I'll sit here and at 3 minutes, at 9:27, I'm going to get up and stand there and wait and whatever happens, happens. But I think we as a congregation need to accept and take on that responsibility, each and every one in various ways, and we're going to get into more difficulty. I'm done with my whining. My apologies for having done so in this fashion, because this is a good congregation with a lot of love for one another, a lot of love for Connie and I, and we deeply appreciate our relationship with you. Let's get to the matter of responsibility then as we're looking at this. What we're going to be doing is looking at it from three different perspectives. One is talking about what consists of responsibility. How do we derive responsibility? And then we're going to simply ask ourselves, how can we know what duties we might bring to the congregation? What abilities do you have as individuals? Because there's a wide variance within the congregation of responsibilities. And then, of course, we want to talk about the discipline of accepting those responsibilities and taking action as individuals within the congregation. As we begin this, then, we're going to be looking at the whole idea of how responsibility is decided. We begin with the idea of ability. And as we look at ability, we look at some scriptures that help us to understand this whole matter of ability. We can go back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy in 16 and verse 17, when Moses said, "Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you." Stepping up, the Israelites were told, step up and be responsible. I think there's a lesson in it for us. We can also go again in the Old Testament over to Ezra in 2 and verse 69, and this is when they were coming back from the exile in Babylon. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for the work 61,000 gold decarmus, 5,000 manas of silver, and 100 priestly garments. Each one as they were able. God has never asked of us that which we cannot do. He has never asked of us that which we cannot do. We come to the New Testament and the same thing is put forth there in Acts the 11th chapter, verse 29. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Jerusalem. According to his ability. The one thing that we note, and we'll get into it a little more later, the one thing we note is God has always expected us to find out what our ability is. He has never accepted the idea that I can put my head in the sand and pretend I don't have ability, therefore I don't have accountability before God. God knows I've got ability. God knows you've got ability. And he expects us to step up and identify it within our lives. And one passage we're often familiar with is in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. The same idea is considered again in the second letter to the Corinthians in 8 and verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, It is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. And by this, what we're seeing is that the Lord is telling the churches and the Christians of the first century in relation to giving and helping those in need and the spreading of the gospel, God doesn't say, look, I know you have this limited ability, but I'm expecting from you three times more than you actually have. No. But what he is saying is, you understand what you have, and you respond accordingly with what you have, and not pretend you have nothing at all. I think from that we clearly see that God puts forth the idea of ability. Then we have opportunity. So ability plus opportunity. Again, we'll look at some scriptures, this time in the New Testament, in Romans the first chapter in verse 13. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. He planned to come to them. He looked for opportunities to come to them. His mind was set to find opportunities to come to them. In Galatians, the 6th chapter in verse 10, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Unquestionably, the Holy Spirit is telling you and I, as Paul was telling the Galatian churches and the saints within those churches, you have opportunities. Look for those opportunities. Do not be, if you will, individuals that simply have their head down in the sand, not seeing any opportunities around them. He told the Philippians in the 4th chapter in verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you care for me. Your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now you've got the opportunity and you're taking advantage of it. What we find then is this very simple point. And that is ability plus opportunity. That's what equals responsibility. That's how we find out what is my responsibility. First and foremost, obviously to God. That's not the point of the lesson this morning. That's an understood truth. How do I decide what's my responsibility to the Highway 157 Church of Christ? In 2 Corinthians, in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not to the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we understand from this passage then that responsibility that's given to each and every one of us as God provides that opportunity. In Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 3, he says, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. And remember, he had told others about the fact that the door had been opened for them to go into what we call Europe today, from Asia Minor. That again was the opening of doors. And Paul is saying, I'm always praying for opportunities to be presented. So he prayed that he might have the ability. He prayed that he might have the opportunity. And therefore, what he was willing to do is accept the responsibility. And that's what I would hope you and I would do as well. So, we do indeed ask ourselves, how is responsibility decided? Now let's take inventory. This is where we start getting down to what we as individuals need to be doing. I think naturally it begins with the idea that we involve ourselves in very deliberate prayer about what we can be doing to strengthen and be involved with the strengthening of this congregation. It needs to be the idea of going to the Scriptures and understanding from the Scriptures my responsibilities within the local church. A point that I've made in the past, God nowhere in the New Testament has left us with the impression that once we obey the gospel, He wants us to be just free-floating Christians with no sense of obligation to another group, to a group of Christians. Every time you read in the New Testament, you find that people made it a point to join themselves to a congregation, not just be floaters in the universe of Christianity. And there's a lot of reasons for that. We've talked about that in other scriptures or other sermons. But we need to give serious thought about this. We need to meditate on it. Setting aside time when we close out all the cares of this world and just think about our responsibilities, what we can be doing for the congregation. And then asking others for advice. Because that's going to be really important in understanding some of the things that we need to zero in on within our lives. I'm going to give a number of questions, and you know I prefer bullet points. But over the next few minutes, these are going to be written out questions that we'll read together without a lot of comment. And if anybody would want the list later, I'd be more than happy to share it with you, and you might add to them. These are all going to be about my abilities. In what ways am I specifically blessed by the Lord? You should be able to sit down, even with pen and paper, and start listing some of the abilities, some of the ways that you are blessed. Not some of the ways that others are blessed, and we'll talk about not comparing ourselves with others. But that's one question we need to ask. What advantages have I which others may not enjoy? There are things you can do that I can't do. There are things I can do that somebody else can't do that maybe a couple of us can do. But there are some things that a couple of people can do that you and I can't do. But I need to know what are the advantages. A lot of these questions require a great deal of honest introspection. And let me say, when I say honest introspection, I mean that we truly step up looking for our abilities. Third time, don't be the ostrich that sticks his head in the sand and says, I have no abilities. I don't think there's a person here, especially among the adults, that lacks any abilities at all. Not a one of us. Not a one of you. So we can't simply sit back and say, I don't have anything to offer. Just my presence is enough. I don't shortchange the idea of your presence either. Can I turn a situation here to good for the congregation? Is there something going on that I can make really a better thing for this congregation as we try to serve God together? Follow me on this long one. What do I possess that can be used in the work of the congregation? Do I have some time that others don't? Do I have some money that others don't? My house, my car, my education. Are there things that I possess that I can put to the work that some others might not be able to put to the work? And might it be just one or two of these things, while others have one or two other things or similar things, but at least just what can I do? What abilities do I have in this regard? What things do I derive special satisfaction, fulfillment from doing well? What things do you really say, I feel good about doing this for this congregation? I feel that I'm really bringing an asset to this congregation. None of these things need to be answered to others to say, here's what I bring to you. This is about an introspection, a self-examination, questioning for yourself. What is it? Identifying them, knowing what they are. What things do I enjoy doing? There ought to be things that you enjoy doing in service to the Lord that reflect back specifically upon the work of the church here. I would hope so. What things come naturally to me? There are a lot of people here that have some really good natural talents. Some of us have to develop from very low talents to really improving those talents. Some of you already have some great natural talents. Do you identify them and take responsibility for them? Do you see those abilities honestly and truly? Don't discard them. Don't suggest you lack them, but identify them and own them. What things might I learn to do? You might get done with the list and you say, you know, that list, I've only got a half dozen things on this list. But the more you pray about it, the more you meditate about it, the more you study God's Word about it, the more you talk to others about it, all of a sudden that list of a half dozen things can grow to a dozen or more as you're putting yourself out there and challenging yourself and what abilities you have. Now let's switch to the other side of this. What are my opportunities? What things need to be done within the local work? What's going on? Listen, if all you know about the congregation is, I come and I sit down on Sunday, some but time between 9:30 and 10:30, and that's all, and then I get up and I leave, and that's all I know about the congregation, then you're depriving yourself of what God says is supposed to be an important and enjoyable and beneficial relationship that we as Christians are to have to one another and before God. What kinds of activities can individuals engage in to contribute to the spiritual health and growth of the congregation? Try to identify them. See what they are and be involved. There are opportunities here. What is being done inadequately? Or not being done at all? I think there probably are some things that are being done inadequately. Maybe some things are getting overlooked completely. I do worry about how much of that is my responsibility, by the way. Another. What problems exist? Are you aware of problems that exist that you might bring a uniqueness to solving the problems? Not gossiping about the problems, not talking about the problems with no intent to solve, but actually to be aware and want to do something to bring about a better result. What are others doing that I need to help do? What burdens are others bearing that I can help bear? What restrictions are placed upon me by the Scriptures? We've got some great spiritual minds among our women, but you don't have a biblical right to stand up here and preach to us, though you may be able to do it much better than I, and I'm not being insincere in that comment. I'm serious about that. There are restrictions. There are limitations. But we need to be aware and recognize then what the opportunities are. What are the other factors which might limit my opportunities? And there might be some. Just recognize them. Look, I'm not saying in any of this that by all means everybody can do everything in all things on a scale of 1 to 10 to a 9 or a 10. I'm not saying that at all. But I don't think there's any adult, especially in this congregation, that on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 0 to 1 and that's the best you'll ever be. So take inventory. Look at what Jesus says there in Mark the 12th chapter. So He called His disciples to Him and said to them as they witnessed the poor widow there, "Surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Remember, the wealthy came and made a big deal about what they put in. She came in with just those two mites and put in. Jesus said, that was better than what the rich guys did. And then the other one, as one serves at Jesus' feet, she made this point. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. But look at that first sentence. She has done what she could. A question of self-reflection for just a moment. Would Jesus Christ make that statement about you and me? And I do mean you and me. She has done what she could. As we continue on then, we do recognize that we take inventory. But then the last step in our consideration this morning is, what will you do? What will you do about that inventory that needs to be taken within our lives? Paul told the Philippians, there in Philippians, the second chapter, in verses 12 through 14, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that which Christ Jesus, has also laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are we pressing on? Are we endeavoring to do all that we can in service to God? In Ecclesiastes, the ecclesiastical writer said this in chapter 11, verses 3 through 4, and I'll comment on it to bring it into the lesson. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind and will not sow, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. I think what the ecclesiastical writer is saying is this. Things happen, and if you let those things stop you from doing what needs to be done, you're not going to profit. You're not going to get the crops planted. You're not going to get the crops brought in. You're not going to do the things that you need to do to prosper. And the same thing is true spiritually. Things happen. And we can't let them be things that discourage us and stop us. And right now, quite frankly, I realize I'm really preaching to myself after my whining to you at the beginning of the lesson. We have to do what God wants us to be doing, regardless of what others would be doing. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12, chapter 10, verse 12, for we dare not to classify ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Do we do that? Do we compare ourselves? I would hope not. We have before us in this morning's lesson the very simple formula, if you will. Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. My question as I close the lesson for us this morning is quite simply this. What will you make of this morning's lesson? What will you do with the things that we're talking about? And let me say to the visitors here, this is not a terrible, slothful group of people. These are people that are dedicated to God, that want the gospel within their lives and want to see the gospel spread. We're just human beings, including myself in this, and we can all do better. And that's all the purpose to this lesson is. And I hope that it is to God's glory and to our benefit as we consider it. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. You know the passage we like to talk about at this time. 1 John, the first chapter, verse 7. He tells us there that indeed if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're not walking in the light, then you're walking in darkness. You need to leave that darkness by recognizing the light of Jesus Christ and coming to that light, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, and then dying with Christ in baptism. That's when you put on Christ. You don't put on Christ when you turned away from Satan. You don't put on Christ when you confessed Christ. You put on Christ, having done those things, when you die with Him and rise to walk in newness of life. If you've not yet done that within your life, we certainly would encourage you to give thought as we sing this song of encouragement. And if you would desire that we pray with you about something, then let's pray together. If you want to die with Christ in baptism this day, all things are ready. We invite you to come and have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.